We are familiar that at this time the Apostle Paul was in Rome, Italy. Sometimes we refer to him being a prisoner, but he could have been, of course, under house arrest, as we have record of the latter part or the last couple of verses in the book of Acts, that he did have liberty to live in a home and to receive people. Whether he was there at the time he was writing these letters to these churches, we don't know, but we do know that he was there at Rome, Italy, and this church was in the northern part of Greece, which in Europe, the first church we know of being in Europe. And it's always exciting to me because I know that's when the gospel began to go west, and it kept going to one day we heard the good news also here in our country. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things unto you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of concision, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things was gained to me, though I count loss for Christ, yet doubtless, and count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but done, that I might win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. If correctly read, reading through the 14th verse of this third chapter of the book of Philippians. We notice he started by saying, finally, my brethren. Of course, we see that he used this term many times in his writings. And sometimes, we notice in the fourth chapter, he said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, wherefore, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So we see he's getting closer to closing this letter. We find him writing to the different churches, and like the church at Corinth in the second letter. He said, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. So we find him using this over. He also used it in the Ephesian Ephesus, as he's writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 6:10, where he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Well, so we find the apostle using this many times at the close of his letter. But it seemed like here that he was changing the thought, and he wanted to really get these thoughts in to him. And we notice as he began to say, "Rejoice in the Lord." Now, rejoice in the Lord, as you have no doubt, each of you have studied the book of Philippians, see that it's used often, some maybe 19 times, joy, rejoice, or gladness, if you take time to count them, in which we have in times past. But yet, keep in mind, he was telling the church there, and us today, that we are to rejoice in the Lord. And at the same time, he was held there being arrested and carried to Rome to go before Caesar, not knowing what was going to happen. As his dear brethren in the spiritual relation, as he was to this church at Philippi, that they would have Christ as their chief joy. Now, no doubt they had sorrow as they knew the condition and why Paul was there at Rome, and also their minister, Epaphroditus, had been sick, and they had many reasons. But the letter was going to them and tell them that they are to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, as not only as their Lord and Savior, but they may rejoice in the hope one day he had that he may return and visit with them. And certainly Epaphroditus was to come and to go and be back with them. So we see that the importance of being able to rejoice in the Lord. We find over in the book of Nehemiah, you remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And how we need to be strengthened as we go through this life. And of course, Paul didn't let it be hid. He knew that the Lord was all sufficient for every need they had and he had and we have today. So they should rejoice in such a Savior as this. Then he went ahead and said to write these same things to you. To me, indeed, it's not grievous. He said, "It doesn't bother me to tell you the same things over and over again." Now, whether he's referring to some other times he spoke to them or in the same manner or not, but he said, "It's not troublesome to me to tell you these things and to remind you of these things." And then he said, "But for you, his sake, This would be good for you if you would receive the things in which I'm saying to you, that you may be on guard, that you be cautious about the things that's going on." Then he began to give warnings here where he said, "Beware of dogs and beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision." We certainly know that he wasn't talking about some a little pet animal, which no doubt was not many of them around, if any, but referred to as the enemy of the cause of Christ. These Judaizer teachers that was coming in and teaching works and ceremonialism and having to keep the law as a necessity for salvation. He was saying, "You be on guard. For these, they are dogs. They will destroy you. They are savage." And, of course, you know, Jesus referred to the animal as a dog. He said, when he, in Matthew's account of the gospel, where he said, "Give not that is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, for they will trample them underfoot and turn again and rid you." So the Lord was using these same thoughts as he was telling them concerning the enemies of the cross and the things that they are to beware of. Also, we find it all through the scriptures, even in the Old Testament, The prophet Isaiah referenced to it. So these evil workers then, as no doubt is the same people that was trying to come in with different doctrines, different teachings than which the Apostle Paul had already spoke to them. He referred to them one time as he was writing to the church at Corinth in the second chapter of Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 13. He says, "Such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So the warning that was going out that they are to be cautious about these things. Well, you say, well, we don't have Judaizers knocking on our doors, but we have all other kind of people. And this is damnable as that teaching concerning keeping the law and the ceremonies of circumcision and all the things that they said they would have to do. So he said, now then, that we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Oh, just keep a rejoicing in Christ. No confidence in the flesh. Well, Jesus made it very plain to Nicodemus, didn't he? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. So don't put no confidence in the flesh. We can certainly do need to know those things. But then he turned and said, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he hath whereof he may trust in the flesh, I more. Paul said, now I want to just show you that I've got a flesh, and there's some things that's happened in my life, and I compare my life with any rest of you if you just want to compare the things in the flesh. And he began to name some things as he used this himself as an example against the Judaizers and the ones that was trying to do this. And he said, now I want you to know what I've received from my parents. I want you to know the things that's happened to me. First, he said, circumcised the eighth day. And of course, that's according to the law, as we know God gave to Abraham back many years for his people down through time. And then he said, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. So he said, I've got a noble birth. I'm of the stock of Israel. I've got the pedigree. I can go back and tell you of the tribe of Benjamin, linked right with there with Jacob and his lawful wife Rachel. And he said, Benjamin is the tribe that I came through. Hebrews of the Hebrews, because he could trace his pedigreed all the way back to Abraham. He said, I'm a Hebrew of the Hebrew. My father was, my mother was. I'm a genuine Hebrew. And he said, now not only that, I want to show you my some efforts of my own. I'm recognized as a Pharisee, the strict sect of the Jews. I was a Pharisee of the zeal. He said, I had great zeal because I was persecuting the church. Galatians chapter 1, verse 13, he mentions these things again. For he said, for ye have heard of my conversation in times past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above all my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my father. So Paul could say, when I was Saul of Tarsus, when I was among them, I was a good Jew. I had the documentations. I did everything that I should have done. But then he said, I won't tell you, but the things which was gained to me, though I count loss for Christ, I have to do away with all of those things. Those things. He said, what things was gained to me? What advantage I had by my birth, my education, being conformed to the law, and all those things. In the religion of the Jews, he said, those I count lost. Now, I do not regard them. I have to say they was even a disadvantage or a hindrance to me. I look here that they had nothing to do. It was an obstacle to my salvation. These things certainly. But notice he began then to tell us what really counted. Here he said, count loss for Christ. I give it all up for Christ. And he said, yet doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. He said, that's what I'm seeking after. Yeah. This is what really counts. This is what really gained. Now, no doubt those Judaizers that could not come up to Paul's physical life and the things that he had done and what all was done for him and he himself, but he said, I want you to know that I count it all loss for Christ. I'm looking, I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I want to know more about him. Not only the things before mentioned, but anything or everything else but Christ. He said, I count it all that I may have this great knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I count those things as done. He said, this just a waste. Some calls it maybe dog's meat or refuge or what. But anyhow, he said, it's worthless. It has no bearing whatsoever. But he said, what I'm looking for to be found in him, be found in Christ, the spiritual blessings, and for the lost of his righteousness, of the self-righteousness of him, even to that precious righteousness which is of God. Yet doubtless I count all loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ, for whom I suffered the loss of all things and do count them but done. Paul was saying, I'm now relying on another righteousness. I'm not relying on what I've done or what was done for me. It is in Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, being found in him. I want us to notice here for a few minutes that statement, the faith of Christ, and how precious it is. It's mentioned several times in the scriptures. The faith of Jesus Christ, the faith of Christ, the faith of the Son of God. We find in Romans chapter 3, verse 21, where the apostle by the Spirit was writing to this church, he said, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all which believe, for there is no difference. And then in Galatians, he used several times using this term. Notice in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20, where he said, I'm crucified with Christ. That'd be a good thought to go with, wouldn't it? what God has done for him. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Notice then in the third chapter, verse 22, but the scriptures has concluded all under sin, that the promise by the faith of Jesus Christ, might be given unto them that believe. Well, think about this. This faith of Christ has been given. And he said here in the 20, let's look down in the 26th verse of that same chapter, chapter 3. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. It is Christ's faith. Isn't that great to think about? It's not a mediated work that man might do or performed by man, by law. And I guess, Brother John, since we love that Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, we'd have to say, for by grace we are saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves. It is a gift to God. The faith of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I exchange everything I've ever had. All the things of that was under the law, the things I've done, I count it lost that I might have Christ, the faith of Christ. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It is appropriated by faith. Thank the Lord for that. It comes from God. And the results is then we see is striving after spiritual things. This is what he's renouncing. And saying, now, church, I want to tell you these things, not only give you warnings what's going to happen, but I want to tell you where real joy and peace really comes. And that's knowing that we've got the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, that I might know him. Oh, think about it. And the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering being made conformable unto his death. The experience of every person who has been brought out of darkness to God's marvelous light and have felt in his heart the glory of Christ, love is that we will sing more about Jesus, would I know. Now, I can't sing like some of you. Brother Darrell, God's blessed him. But I like that little song, and I'm sure you've sung it or have heard it. More about Jesus, would I know? More of his grace to others show. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his savingness fullness see. More of his love who died for me. Oh, when faith comes from God, we yearn to know more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ. And saying, I must get to know Christ better and better. I want to know more about him. Now let us look what God has done for us. And this love and knowing more for him. That we can say God justifies his children. He has sent forth that sanctifying spirit into their hearts. That's why we are able to have a desire like that, because of the work of the power of God. And notice, and also from the divine side, we can think about this, not only righteousness imputed, but yet righteousness imparted in the work of the Spirit of God. Oh, to think that where we stand with God in the righteousness of God, being justified by faith. But now we see that we on the human side, we are solely dependent upon the divine. We are linked in the gift of faith, must. Now that I might know him refers to the knowledge not only of the mind, but also of the heart. Oh, to know him. Let's think about some of the words that Jesus prayed prior to he went to Calvary. In that 17th chapter of the Gospel according to John, where he says, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Now notice, and this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Oh, he said, this is the eternal life. This knowledge that we have of the Almighty God and his Son, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians 4 again, I don't think we've been in the fourth chapter. But that ninth verse says, but now, after that we have known God, or rather are known of God, how then turn again to this weakly and beggarly elements, whereunto you desire again to be in bondage? He said, now, after we have this knowledge of God, and we know that not only that we know God, but He knows us, why would you want to turn back into those things? Oh, may we see. All right, let us notice here, as our time is going on by, Ephesians, here, as this power, this resurrection, is something that's really been stirring my heart, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, this supernatural resurrecting power. He wrote also to the church at Ephesus about this. Notice in that first chapter of Ephesians, verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what is the riches of His glory in the inheritance of the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. After reading God's Word in these great texts like that, we'd have to say it's not of will power, but it's of His power. Oh, thank God for that. God gives, and our prayer, God, give me that power of His resurrection. May it be upon us that we could be having to do the task that God has given us to do, to know the power of His resurrection. Notice He said, and the suffering, or the fellowship of His suffering. Now, as we could analyze and think, no man had ever suffered like our Lord suffered, because He was bearing our sins, who had no sin. Oh, thanks be to the Lord for His suffering. And back over in the second chapter of Philippians, the apostle was telling the church and us today, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. Let us consider the suffering. Let us not become discouraged if some little something comes our way, but consider the fellowship of His suffering, what He's gone through, what was what He did for us. And then He said, being made conformable unto His death. Oh, to think about it. Either the spiritual sense of dying daily to sin, or what? Notice here what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31. He said, I protest by your rejoicing, which also I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. He said, that's the being conformed unto His death. All right, then notice are the afflictions that may come, and with the lust and all the things of that nature. Galatians 5:24 says, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So then we see affections and lust comes, they are to be crucified, being made conformable unto His death. And then in Romans 8:13, let's notice this. He said, for if I live after the flesh, if ye live after the flesh, ye should die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So then we see that we are even to be planted in the likeness of His death. Romans 6, 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Yeah. Oh, think about the good things that we have. He said, that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Then he began to say, not as though I have already attained, either we're already perfect, but I follow after if that I may apprehend that which also I am apprehended of Christ. He said, oh, I'm apprehended of Christ. I want to follow on. Then he said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before. Oh, think about it. Now, he went back and reminded them as we started in our text what he were in the flesh and how that he had to sacrifice and give all of that up. But now then he said, brethren, I hadn't completely apprehended. Now listen, he's been apostle now for many years. God has given him great revelation, but yet he's still looking forward there to be to apprehend these great things that set yet before him. He said, For I do forget those things which are behind, and I'm raging forth to those things that's above. Then he said, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Oh, just keep on looking to the things that Christ has for us. I trust these few scriptures that we scanned over for the last few minutes could be a help and strength to you, because as we think what the Lord has done for us, same as he's done for this great servant, the Apostle Paul. And we are thankful that he loved us in such a manner. And oh, may we keep a looking for that power of that of his resurrection and seeing the great things, that we might know him and know him as he really is. And I guess this is why I love to meet as we met today, because we hear about the Lord and the things he's done, that we might know more and more of him. May God bless you. Appreciate your prayers and attention. Amen.